Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Chris Easterling, and he joins us now. Chris, what's going on, man?
Not much, Jake. How you doing tonight?
We're doing pretty well. A hot conversation out of the gate surrounding Travis Hunter and whether or not sort of the Browns being in looking at potential safest pick of the draft. I'll get your input on it. If you're looking at the safest pick in the draft right now for the Browns at two, would you pick Travis Hunter as that guy?
Absolutely. I don't dislike Shedeur Sanders. He's probably of the quarterbacks in this draft class. He's the one I like the most, especially in a Kevin Stefanski offense. I just don't like him at two. Abdul Carter, talent-wise, I mean, just ceiling may have the highest ceiling. But you're coming in, and I know the report came out today, Drew Rosenhaus to saying that, the medical reexamination and indeed today, came up that, he's not going to need surgery on that foot. But there are a few medical red flags that you can put on a player coming into the league that give me pause more than a guy who may have foot issues. I mean, that's just something. I mean, we've seen it over the years with players with bad feet or with feet issues. And it's just something that it can crop up at the worst possible time. And once you get foot issues, it lingers and it can sort of be a career thing. So that leads you to Travis, who I think talent wise is one of the two most talented players in this draft, along with Carter. And I think you're getting 2-for-1 value with Travis Hunter. You're getting the number one wide receiver, I think, in this draft class. And I think you're getting one of the best corners in this draft class, quite honestly. And I think you're getting a guy who, if you sit down and a good coaching staff looks at him, he's a guy you can use for, I'm not saying play him a full time on both sides of the football. I'm not. But you can find ways to get him on the field in a lot of different situations, regardless of whether you consider him a wide receiver, which Andrew Berry has said he sees him first as a wide receiver and then cornerback. But he's also amended that and told us last week down in the owners' meetings he thinks he's going to play a lot of football on the defensive side of the ball as well. So in that instance, I just think that's a rare talent that you just, in a draft with so much questions about the most important position in football, go get the guy that at least gets you an elite talent on this roster, which is also what Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry said this team needs. They just need really good football players on this roster, and you check a box with Travis Hunter.
Chris, obviously, Travis is always in the mix at two, but it felt a lot less obvious within the last, probably before the week or so, of that it felt like he was going at two to the Browns. What changed, other than the fact that Colorado had their pro day, that has all the buzz being Cleveland taking Travis Hunter at two?
I think part of it probably was you looked at him and you said, wide receiver. I think you try to look at him by the position maybe and say, well, they need a wide receiver, but do you need a wide receiver at two? Unless that wide receiver was Jermaine, Jeremiah Smith, not Jermaine, Smith, Jeremiah Smith. But, you know, do you need a cornerback? Well, no. I mean, you've got one of the best in the league already, and you got two others who, you know, when they're at their best, are above average in MJ and Greg. So, but then, the questions are, the questions have always lingered about this quarterback class. And, once it became obvious they weren't going to get Cam Ward, who I think they really do like, I think, people had a more honest assessment about Shedeur Sanders' value, Shedeur Sanders' spot in the on the board or in the rankings of this in this draft class overall. And then again, the medicals with Abdul, I just think all of that kind of opened the door for, a player I think the Browns have always sort of really been intrigued with. I just think it sort of opened the door for, this could be the option. Now, it's a lot of smoke, that could amount to just being a giant smoke screen. It is 2 weeks before the draft, so, it could all be, just that. But I just really think they really are intrigued by the football player they would be getting in Travis Hunter.
Chris Easterlin, Akron Beacon Journal with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. At this point, Chris, do you feel like the Browns are pretty much locked in knowing who they want at number two, or going down the last two or so weeks, is this still an evaluation process where they're not fully committed to one guy?
Andrew Berry said, he likes to take the whole shot clock, in kind of his words. I think they have a good idea. I don't think they've had a final decision. I think they want to, they're still taking visits. Obviously, they just had, other visitors in this week. I think they're still sort of, having meetings, talking. The coaches are talking. The scouts are talking. I think they're still talking, but I think they have an idea. I think the picture's a lot more clear for them now than it was even a week ago. But I think they're going to utilize every second they have between now and when they're actually on the clock and when they actually have to turn in the card to decide the final, we have to put our jobs on the line for this pick, and when they do that in 2 weeks.
If you're the Browns, are you still evaluating the potential of a trade down? I mean, obviously, outside of the obvious, you're always evaluating for a trade down. You're always taking offers for a king's ransom. But are you still seriously considering a trade down at this point? Or are the players at the top here good enough to sort of keep you away from that?
I think they feel comfortable taking a player or two. I think that. But again, it goes back to, what Andrew said about using the time on the clock, seeing what develops, because who knows what develops. I mean, you get to draft night, you get to those, 10 minutes in the first, you get that clock ticking down, and, you never know who panics in another team's facility. So, I think it's prudent to keep that option open and keep an open mind to it. But I think they'd rather take the player at two because, as Jimmy Haslam said, to us last week, you hope not to be picking at two again, anytime soon. So when you get a chance to, really with Tennessee kind of seemingly settled in on Cam Ward, the rest of the board is yours. You get to sort of start the draft, so make the most of it and get yourself the best possible player you can get.
If with the odds getting lower with sort of Shedeur Sanders, we've seen that after the pro day, they've gotten farther and farther away from the Browns taking him with the number two pick. Is that in some way an indication that the Browns could be closer to starting Kenny Pickett week one? Or do you think they're still sort of sitting there with an ace up their sleeve at quarterback?
I mean, the Kirk Cousins thing is always going to be out there until the Kirk Cousins thing isn't out there. But, you're either going to start a rookie, because I think they are going to come out of, if not Thursday night, Friday, early Friday, I think they're going to come out with a quarterback. You're going to have a guy like Carson Wentz. So my options are, I think it's looking more and more like Kenny, but, who knows? Could something shake loose? Maybe, but it's so far-fetched. It's so hard to imagine the kind of quarterback that you would truly feel comfortable being your number one on opening day, kind of emerging this late in the process if it's not a Kirk Cousins.
So I constantly now come back in question with every day that passes with not having the quarterback position figured out or getting further and further away from potentially drafting one at two. Sort of just what they could have possibly handed Miles to get to sign the contract. Here's our plan at quarterback, if you wanted to hear it, in less of the fact that it's just $160 million. Have we gotten any change in mind on potentially how much that Miles knew at the quarterback spot when he did ink the contract?
I mean, I'm sure they laid out a plan, but, the best laid plans, that saying about best laid plans, look, there weren't many options for Myles Garrett to go to that would fit the kind of the Venn diagram of the contender that Myles Garrett wanted to go to, the team that was going to be able to provide at least somewhat reasonable compensation to the Cleveland Browns for acquiring a future Hall of Famer. And then the one that was going to give Miles the big contract, the big contract extension, because that was going to be a part of it. He was not going to go someplace where he was then going to sign somewhere else. He was going someplace where he could get the extension he ultimately got with the Browns. And I think, they just continued to talk. And, at the end of the day, I think money talks. And, and he realized, they have a plan, or they've at least spelled something out that even if it doesn't mean, 2025 is this like, oh my God, you're contending for the AFC North and all that. There's at least, I can see their vision. I see what they're looking at. So that would be my best guess. Miles has said, Miles at the press conference and talked about, they just kept talking and, all of that. So, until otherwise, my guess is that, it was a combination of there was no place else. He got the money and he was at least somewhat satisfied with what they told him they were going to try to do to try to, as quickly as possible, turn this thing around.
Again, Chris Easterling of the Akron Beacon Journal with us here on the hotline. I'll ask it in a very straight and direct way, Chris. Is the offensive line good enough right now to support a rookie quarterback? Or will it be after the draft, I guess?
Is it healthy enough? I mean, that's the big question. Because if it's healthy, Jack Conklin played pretty well. I thought Jack Conklin was their best offensive lineman last year when he was healthy. If you get a healthy Wyatt Teller, which, he's sort of every other year, it seems like. It's an odd number year. So that's typically when Wyatt's, pretty healthy, and it just seems like it's worked out that way for him through his career. And, Joel, obviously, it seems like this will be Joel's last year, but if you get one more good year of Joel, the left tackle position is obviously a question mark. But again, and you're banking on health from a guy whose first 2 years in the league have both ended on injured reserve and having off-season knee procedures, but I think it's good enough. But I'm not, I mean, I think they also know they need to solidify it even more. I think that's why he's so Tevin Jenkins signed. That's a very intriguing signing, because that's the guy who, you know, I think a lot of people saw as a, you know, signing somewhere to start, and he's signing somewhere where his primary positions are occupied by Pro Bowlers in Joel and Wyatt. So, I mean, he can play left tackle, but, I mean, so I think it's good enough if it's healthy enough. And that's, I mean, the last couple of years, that's quite honestly been the biggest question, the biggest issue with that offensive line.
All right, Chris, I'll get you out of here with this. We've seen Deshaun posting on social media talking about how he's going to come back better than ever, not out of the ordinary for him. But I guess the question that comes to it, if he wanted to come back, do you think there'd be a team out there, even if it's a veteran minimum, that would be giving him the chance and an opportunity to play again?
I'd never say never. Even though I just said never there. But it's just so hard. It's the combination of another franchise doesn't, another organization is going to take that off the field head, that the off the field, you know, for all the, you know, I know that's in the past, they're not going to deal with the headaches of signing Deshaun Watson. I can't envision another organization signing him. I mean, He's hurt. He's been hurt. He can't stay healthy. He hasn't played a full season in 5 years. And then you're bringing on, even if he's already served the suspension for it, you're just, I just don't think it's worth it for another organization to do so.
All right, Chris, I appreciate the insight as always. Hopefully we talk here either before the draft or sometime soon after, and hopefully with positive vibes going forward by the end of the month. I appreciate you setting aside the time.
Hey, not a problem, Jake. Thanks for having me.
All the things considered, just sent me, if you're looking at the overblown size thing for Travis Hunter, people saying, I don't really like that he's coming in at, you know, 184 and 6 foot. He sent me a list of receivers' weights who would be of concern. Devontae Smith came in and measured in at 166. Pretty good wide receiver for the Eagles. Jordan Addison, 176. Tank Dell, 165. Josh Downs, 171. All pretty solid wide receivers in the NFL. Like, Josh Downs might be, you might be looking at that and going, oh, well, okay. All right. I mean, maybe we're taking a stretch here. Like, all of those guys have flashed within the last couple of years. Some real star power there. So if you're concerned about the Travis Hunter weight, again, we're always going to look for potential red flags on a guy, but a little overblown. I don't understand the, he's 6 foot and he's not even 200 pounds. Like, yeah, Malik Nabers weighed in a little heavier. Justin Jefferson I was off on, weighed in at 202 for the draft. But still, guys that are, again, smaller framed, 6 foot wide receivers, still looking pretty darn good, and weight hasn't been a massive issue for them. I'm not saying that it's a nothing, that you can't be concerned about it in the slightest, but it should definitely not be a detractor from drafting a guy if you think he's that talented. But after talking to Chris, I did think it was interesting, just sort of going through and thinking, all right, well, Miles said he needed to know what the quarterback position was going to look like if he was going to sign, right? He wanted to know and be convinced that this team was going to have a chance to compete in the future. And obviously, that starts so much at the quarterback position. That's pretty much directly out of the mouth of Miles. But also, think about his Radio Row interviews. What are the teams that he talked about being so interested in, having a dying need to go get and be a part of when he was so convinced that he was going to be leaving the Browns? He was asked about Washington. He was talking about the potential team up in Detroit, places that have the quarterback position pretty darn solidified and had seen good quarterback play over the past couple of years, or at least last year, I guess, if we're talking about Washington. But it means so much to have that position figured out. And I just sit here, and with every day that passes and every time we're getting farther away from potentially taking Shedeur Sanders at two, like, what possibly could have been to sell to Miles? Or unless you just straight up lied to him, and that's going to be a whole problem of itself. I really hope that wouldn't be the case. Like, it's more and more becoming to me that Miles was clearly just handed a $160 million contract. They're like, we're not trading you. This is on the table. You come to the conclusion. More than, well, we got a really good option here, a really good plan at quarterback. And he's just doing, after signing the contract, back to doing the Browns' bidding. Right? When he's sitting there going, oh, I got an idea who it is at quarterback, but you know I can't tell you. There's no guarantee at this point that you're getting a rookie quarterback, and I don't think that in any way he would have been convinced of that rookie quarterback in the first place, or else he wouldn't have been dying to get out of here, I would have to imagine, in thinking that they had no chance to compete and going throwing those words out. I don't think it could even be Shador, but as we get farther away, it seems more and more likely that it's not going to be Shador, as much as I'd like it to be, but odds would tell you no. Vegas tells you no. And if it was Kirk Cousins all along, that's not even a surefire thing at this rate. Right? We don't know for a fact that the Browns would even be able to get Kirk Cousins, let alone trying to navigate the trade. But at this rate, who knows if Pittsburgh would step in? And if Pittsburgh wants to step in and basically go through and tell you, you know what? No, we're going to go get Kirk because Aaron Rodgers isn't working out. Well, at that point, I'd be having to consider the fact that, yeah, like if it's Kirk deciding between the Steelers and the Browns, while there's obviously the connection to Kevin Stefanski, the offensive firepower with the Steelers right now definitely looks a lot better prior to the draft looking for Kirk. And I just don't know, again, what if Miles was waiting to be sold on the quarterback and all along it was a rookie that was in this draft, well then, okay, you were a little upset on how the year went. You were upset with the Deshaun situation. They told you that wasn't happening again. We're taking a rookie. By the way, here's $160 million. And then you made your decision. The general conclusion that I've come to, I think is, yeah, well, you can't turn away the money. Miles basically came back, which is already sort of an inclination, already kind of felt that it was for the money, but he basically came back on the idea that, yeah, you're making me the highest paid defensive end, highest paid non-quarterback at the time prior to a couple of other things going down, but the highest paid non-quarterback at the time of the signing, and you're guaranteeing me that you're not going to make a trade. Your heels are so dug in that I'm just going to put a smile on my face and going back to what I've been doing for the past 8 seasons. At this point, I don't know that other than a general idea of here's what we might go with, that Miles has really ever handed a plan. And at the end of the day, that when everything was set on the table, here's what we have to offer you, that he even cared about the plan anyway. I don't know what scenario you've played into unless the Browns are telling him, hey, guess what? We said we're going to compete in 2025, but we are tanking. We are not looking to win, and we're going for Arch Manning, or we're going for one of these quarterbacks in 2026. That at this point logically could have played out because it couldn't have been Kenny Pickett. There's no way Miles was being sold by Kenny Pickett being your quarterback. I don't even know that any of the other options would have done it. It's fine if the money was the thing all along. Again, I just wish Miles would have said it from the beginning, and that would have been the real thing. If you're not going to trade me, at least hand me the biggest contract not handed out to a quarterback so far in the NFL, and that'll be the difference maker. But he never wanted to do that. He gave up his ground early and decided just to ink it. It just rubs me the wrong way. The entire way through, I don't think that Miles has a clue what the Browns are doing at quarterback. I don't know that for a fact. The Browns have a clue at what they're doing at quarterback right now. It really feels like they're going into this thing, and the fact that Kevin Stefanski even said that they're looking potentially and would be confident with Kenny Pickett as their starting quarterback, I think is of concern in itself and probably of slight proof that the Browns really don't know a foolproof plan of what they're doing at that spot. I think they leave the option open for a rookie. I think they leave the option open that Atlanta will eat some of the contract for Kirk Cousins and you can get him here. I think they're also leaving the possibility open that you just roll with Kenny Pickett and you just see what the year presents to you. I think they're taking a complete gamble at this thing at this rate. If you're not convinced of Shador, they're just going, all right, what is the best possible option we can get here to go into the year? And I don't even know that it's best possible of what's going to make you win compared to what's the easiest thing for us to acquire or what are we settling on? And potentially the only thing that could be worse than reaching for a quarterback in the draft for me is settling on a quarterback that you actually don't have a ton of trust in. That's like next up, worst case scenario.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's leave that there. Coming back in about 5 minutes, we'll talk to Joe Rexroad. Covers the Tennessee Titans for 102.5 The Game in Nashville. We'll get a look at what he has to say about the Titans. Is it confirmed Cam Ward? And is there any way that it's not? That's coming up with Draft Daily here at 8:40. It's Jake Volnick with the guys on Overtime on The Fan. Again, it covers the Titans down there at 102.5 The Game in all of Nashville sports. He's Joe Rexroad. He joins us now. Joe, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty well. I have to imagine we're sitting in the number two pick. You're sitting in the number one pick. It feels like a lot more options, a lot more question marks surrounding the Browns right now at the number two spot. But does it feel pretty good right now, feeling like you're relatively solidified in what you're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the Titans are going to go with Cam Ward. I mean, I guess it's always possible, you know, that they could shock everyone, or that I guess someone could shock them with a ridiculous deal to move up to get him. But, I mean, everything that they've done here, you know, in the last few weeks screams Cam Ward as the decision. So, you know, I think that the door, you know, they've also made sure that it's out there publicly that they haven't decided that they're, you know, that they are open to the possibility of a move. So I would leave the door cracked, you know, again, if someone decides that they're just completely in love with Cam Ward. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. And I mean, I think Cam Ward as a prospect is, you know, a little bit underwhelming compared to some years in terms of the top quarterback in the draft. And so I'd be surprised if anyone wants to do anything crazy to go get him. And I think I don't know if I would characterize it as they've resigned themselves today. I think they've convinced themselves, maybe talked themselves into it, but also meeting with him, I think he helped himself a ton in terms of kind of putting words to the film and things like that. And so I think the Cam Ward era in Nashville starts in, you know, this fall.
Is that sort of a fair characterization of how you felt it went? Because it feels like that almost from an outside view, and that's coming from somebody who I think the Browns like Cam Ward a lot, and if he was there at two, it'd be a no-brainer pick for him. But did it take some convincing? Was it a buy-into? Maybe from an organizational standpoint, it feels like, but also even from like a fan base standpoint?
Yeah, well, the fan base standpoint, it's very split, very polarizing. I think organizationally, absolutely. You know, my coworker, Diana Rossini, just last week, you know, had a report out there that there are people in this organization who, you know, have wanted to trade the pick. And I think coming out of the combine, that was the strong feeling, was that the Titans are probably going to address quarterback in some way in the veteran market, and then they're going to try to move down and And if they can't move down, if they can't get something great, then maybe, you know, then you look at a Travis Hunter and an Abdul Carter. So that changed. That changed. And, you know, it's a totally new, basically totally new front office. You still have Chad Brinker. They fired the GM, Rand Carthon. Chad Brinker, who Rand Carthon brought in, has been elevated to sort of, you know, president over everything. Then hired Mike Borgonzi from Kansas City to be GM. And then, you know, you bring in Reggie McKenzie, Dave Ziegler, two guys with a lot of experience who are new, guys who have strong voices in that organization. So it's a totally new situation, along with Coach Brian Callahan. So I'm not surprised at the idea that there would be, you know, varying viewpoints. Is everybody in total lockstep now, you know, all aboard the Cam train? I don't know. But, again, their actions tell us that's the way they've decided to go. You signed Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle as your veteran quarterbacks, and everybody knows that Will Levis, you know, it's just it's not happening here for him. That tells me you have a spot for a starter, and you're about to fill it.
I'm glad that we feel very much on the same page. Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle feel a lot like Kenny Pickett to me.
right.
Yeah, would have loved to see them start. But how big of a pick is this? Because you bring up Brian Callahan, who he was floated around, obviously, in the offseason, that even being a first-year coach could sort of have his name drawn out of the hat to be almost out the door, a one-and-done. How big of a draft is this for Callahan and co, really, in keeping their jobs in Tennessee?
Yeah, well, look, controlling owner Amy Armstrong has been, obviously, has just been on a rampage, frankly, since, you know, since midway through the 2022 season, after a long stretch of stability, of winning. You know, this team is the number one seed in the AFC in 2021, even losing Derrick Henry, but then, you know, lose to the Bengals at home in the playoffs, and it kind of starts to unravel. Then you trade A.J. Brown, which was the thing that cost John Robinson his job, former GM John Robinson's job, but he gets fired mid-season, which is just bizarre. There's no reason to do that mid-season. Then Vrabel is the guy, then he gets fired. Then Rand Carthon is who they're rallying around. Now he's been fired. So, yeah, I think everybody's on high alert there. And Callahan is, it would be unfortunate. I think if you're a Titans fan, you don't want this to become the Bears, where people are constantly on different timelines. And so to me, the Titans should be looking at this like, look, if you didn't fire Brian Callahan after last year and you're now drafting this quarterback, and the reason he got this job is because he's supposed to be a developer of quarterbacks, well, then you've got to give him some runway and you've got to be all in with him. And we're going to find out, because obviously you bring in a new GM, and a lot of times a new GM has a coach in mind, right? He has his guy out there. And so it seems like the most obvious next person to be on the hot seat would be Brian Callahan. But again, I think that would be a bad way to approach it. If they're going to stick with him now, you know, then, you know, obviously we're going to see how next year goes. If the product's bad, and if you don't see a lot of hope with Cam Ward, then maybe, you know, you make the move. But to me, the mindset should be that he should get some time here.
How big, and Joe Rexroad of 102.5 The Game in Nashville and The Athletic joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, how big of a gap do you see it right now of Cam Ward to Shedeur Sanders, with the Titans obviously most likely drafting Cam?
Well, I'm I liked Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning, so, you know. but I'll tell you that if I was drafting a quarterback in this draft, it would be Shedeur Sanders. Because I value seeing the field, quick decisions, and over and over again, consistent accuracy. And that's one thing with Shedeur. You know, first of all, I watched a lot of his games, and he just had terrible offensive line play. So, and sometimes I don't think he handled it well. I think he maybe ran himself into sacks, and he bailed out, and he's trying to make plays, but he just didn't have good conditions. When he had conditions, you know, his on-target throw underlying numbers are terrific. Like, they're fantastic, best of the draft by far. And I wouldn't take either of them with the number one overall pick, but if I was drafting a quarterback, I would take him. Obviously, I think the consensus here is there's a pretty big gap between Cam and Shedeur. And I get it. Look, I mean, I think the ceiling is higher with Cam. I think the floor is higher with Shedeur. But I get the ceiling with Cam. I mean, he makes plays. Anybody who watched him at all, he does some stuff that, you know, off platform and the different arm angles and some of these throws are just outrageous. So I understand if you could harness that how tantalizing he is as a prospect. I also know that the guy that they just tried out at quarterback was a very talented guy with a lot of arm talent, a lot of athleticism, who played too much hero ball, and we saw how that worked out for him. You know, so that's kind of my concern with Cam. But now, you know, the consensus is obviously Shador, big gap, and I do wonder if he ends up taking a pretty big tumble in this draft. If you know, the Browns, Giants, you know, Raiders, if they're not going to go for him, how far does he fall?
All right, Joe, I ask at the end of every single time we do one of these interviews, I ask the guests to plant their flag. Who is their team taking the pick? I think it's pretty clear what your answer would be. So along with it, I'll have you give me the assessment of Cam Ward at one for you to the Titans and where you think it brings Tennessee at the end of the 2025 season.
I think that there will be hope restored because I think he'll do enough that, you know, he'll make enough plays that you'll be able to see the makings of a good quarterback. It'll be Cam Ward, and I think there will be hope and excitement. And then the question is just, again, can you get – I think he misses too many layups. I think there's a lot to work on. I think accuracy is one of those things that you don't often see improve. Obviously, Josh Allen is like the guy that you could always look at and say, man, that guy could barely hit the broadside of a bar in his rookie year, you know, and look at what happened with him. But I think that he'll play well enough that there will be hope with Cam Ward. And then we're going to find out, you know, after 2-3 years, if he can really be worthy of that number one pick.
All right, Joe, I appreciate you setting aside the time. I know you've been busy for the last month or so, so I do appreciate it. And hopefully we can talk some here sometime soon, hopefully with better outlooks for both of our teams heading into 2025.
Sounds great. All right, thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Yep, appreciate you, Joe. Again, Joe Rexroad of 102.5 The Game, as well as The Athletic, joining us there on the hotline.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.